Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So it's been a while, it's been 2 weeks, I've been on holiday. It's been a hectic week. After I got back from a holiday, I was up and down the country doing 3 shows. So a lot of cross country driving and yeah, took up my whole day basically. But I'm back now, back into a routine. It's the first time I've been in a routine now and I've actually felt the effect of not having to do 90 minutes of cardio a day, 10,000 steps and a workout on top of it. I actually feel like I've so much more free time now since I came back because in between my shoot and my holiday, I had a lot going on. I had a lot of catch up to be doing with friends and family, a lot of events on, etc. And then obviously doing 3 shows straight after the holiday too. So today's Wednesday. Monday was 2 days ago. But I already feel like I'm just getting so much more time back and I can get so much more done. I ran an offer on my app, my Coach Enya platform, $39.99 for 2 months membership, which is worth $59.99. So you get your meal plan, your workout program and so many more other additions that's on the app in terms of education, classes, etc. So that ran from Monday gone, the 17th of June, up until today, which is the 19th of June. But I might be running an extension on it. So if you are listening to this on the 19th of June, 2024, I may extend it for another 2 days. But you have to be on my mailing list, which you can find in the bio of my Instagram page. You'll see it says sign up to my mailing list and you will receive the special discount link. You have to be on my mailing list, okay? So anyway, how did my holiday go? So I went to Albufeira in Portugal with my boyfriend, my brother and his girlfriend went, and we ran into my boyfriend's cousins and her boyfriend. They were at a wedding over there. They were with 2 other people too. So yeah, there was a couple of nights where we were all out together, which was great. What I will say about Albufeira is I don't know whether anyone has been there before who listens. I was expecting just like a normal generic holiday, you know, peace and quiet, go out to a bar or restaurant in the evening. But we went on a Monday and, you know, by Thursday, there was just busloads of hens and stags getting off outside our hotel. Like, I think our hotel was like a drop off point for them. But they were all in their hen and stags uniforms, the t-shirts, the cowboy hats. So from Thursday up until Saturday, the place was swarmed with them. And we actually found ourselves trying to avoid them because we were just on a different level to them. Like we weren't, you know, going to get pissed for the whole week or, you know, stay out all day drinking. Like we literally chill by the pool, do stuff in the afternoon and then, you know, get ready for a meal and a couple of drinks in the evening. Like it wasn't like a flat to the man holiday. Although, you know, if I was on a hens or, you know, I was going for a girl of a holiday, it probably would have been ideal. But yeah, that was just the one thing that kind of turned me off. So I was kind of happy that we had a group of people to mingle with. If it had just been me and him, like we probably would have found it a bit too disruptive. But all in all, it was still great. The weather was kind of overcast some of the days, but it was still really warm. My daily routine was quite different to other holidays in the past because I was in Portugal before. I was in Portugal last year for the first time in a place called Lagos and Praia de la Cruz, I think. I could be getting that completely wrong. But basically, not to be morbid, it was the area that Madeleine McCann was abducted from. It was literally that area. But that's where Titan Fitness is in the Algarve. And I went on a fitness retreat there last year for 5 days. It was great. It was in a quiet little town. It was away from Albufeira and it was lovely. Actually, me and him are thinking about going there in September for a few days, not to Titan Fitness, but just because it's so nice, quiet, and it's a hidden gem. It is. It's not like Tenerife where it's just like loads of mad strips and stuff. But my daily routine, I would wake up in the morning around between 9 and 10. I would go down to the hotel breakfast. And I'll actually get to that now in a minute. I'd go down to the hotel breakfast between 9 and 10. We would put our towels on our sunbeds because that's what you do when you're on holiday. It's just like an unwritten rule, isn't it? And then I would chill there till about 12 or 1. And then I would go on a walk. So we'd go on a walk for about, you know, the guts of 2 hours. So we'd walk up, walk back, maybe along the coast, maybe to the gym. So I went to the gym twice over there. I did 2 full body workouts. So it was about a 25 minute walk from where we were staying. And we walked it. Like there was no point getting a taxi. We just thought, why not get our steps in? And if you've ever been to Albufeira, there's a pub called Erin's Isle, and Garrett, my boyfriend, had told me he used to come here as a, he used to go there as a kid, and that was a pub that they would always go to. So we were searching for gyms on, you know, on Google Maps, and I think there was a couple, but this was probably the best one that we found. It's called 100, I actually can't pronounce it, but it's up near Erin's Isle anyway. And it's in like a complex. So it was like an apartment complex, but downstairs in the apartment complex, it was like different shops. So like, you know, salons, like it was really, really quiet. But like there was a gym there, like you go out then into the open and there's like a courtyard with a pool, and then the gym is one of the buildings. It was small enough, but it had loads of equipment and it was really, really modern and like, you know, a lot of options. So it was 25 minutes from where we were staying walking, walking distance, which was the name of the hotel I stayed in was Aqua Pedra Dos Bicos or something. I think that was what it was called. It was 4-star. It was really nice, I have to say. Like, I couldn't fault the hotel at all. It was really modern, it was really well kept, and yeah, I really couldn't fault it. The rooms were cleaned every day. But we went to the gym twice anyway, and I did a full body, and yeah, otherwise we just walked then, like just for a bit of activity in the afternoon to break up the day, and then we would come back then around 4-ish, chill by the pool again for another hour, and then go up and get ready. And then in the evening time, we would go out for a meal. We tried different cuisines every night. So we tried clay oven, which is an Indian. We tried that on the first night. The second night, we tried a place called the Market Restaurant, which kind of does like, you know, a bit of everything, but really, really well cooked. And, you know, really, really good display, really good cocktails. That was lovely too. That was in the new town. And then the third night, what did we do the third night for food? Oh God, I forget now. I can't remember, but we had a Chinese one of the nights, and we went back to the Market Restaurant and we went back to Clay Oven as well. So yeah, we went to an Italian one of the nights as well, that they served pizza, and that was lovely. I forget the name of it too. Sorry, I'm so bad with names. I'm actually in the middle of an ADHD consult form. Yeah, it's a really, really long one. And one of the questions they ask you is, are you forgetful? So I think it's safe to say I have a memory like Dory from Finding Nemo. But that was the routine. And yeah, I overindulged in the evenings. And in terms of what I ate for breakfast and lunch, so for the hotel breakfast, it was like a buffet, so you could go up and help yourself, which is dangerous when you've just come off photo shoot prep. But what I would do is I would get up and I would put scrambled egg on my plate. So a scoop of scrambled egg and two, they weren't fried eggs. I think they were like steamed eggs, but they look fried, if you know what I mean. Like they were flat, sunny side up. Two of them, one sausage, and the slices of bread were like the size of the Brennan's Be Good bread. So I would have one of them. And then I would eat that. I wouldn't go up for seconds in terms of like, you know, eggs or sausages or anything like that. I basically got the eggs for the protein, and then I just got a sausage because I like, you know, the taste of sausages. They hadn't got any turkey sausages there. Bread for a bit of carbs. And then I go up and get a second serving, but a second serving I would get fruit. So I'd get a bowl of fruit, just a small one, you know, like those kind of like soup bowls that you would see in restaurants. Like they were literally that size. I'd put like a scoop of fruit in because they had a fruit salad bar, and I'd put some Greek yogurt on top of it. A glass of orange juice. And then for the third serving, they had like these little mini croissants, and I would have one of them with a little bit of Nutella on it. I didn't have that every morning, but most mornings I would definitely have the scrambled eggs and the eggs. And then, yeah, I'd say maybe two mornings I didn't have the fruit, but I would always get a little mini pastry. I'm on holiday. I'm obviously going to enjoy. I deprived myself for like 5 months. And then I obviously drank loads of water and stuff. Like I think I probably drank about 3 to 4 liters a day. Like we bought those, you know, those 6 packs of like 2 liter waters, and we put them in the fridge. There was a supermarket right around the corner. So what we would do for lunch then, most days, I brought over a couple of pots, actually about 3 pots of Flavin's porridge, because they sent me a lovely hamper, because they seen that I always love my oats, and I always, you know, have them with my story and stuff, and they are the brand that I use. They sent me a lovely box of oats, bags of oats, pots of oats, flapjacks and stuff. So yeah, I brought a couple of those away with me. And I had, so some afternoons I had the porridge and protein powder. I brought protein powder away with me. A pot of porridge with protein powder in it, and I would buy like fruit, fresh berries in the supermarket, pour them in on top, and then maybe have a protein shake with that as well, or else a protein yogurt. That would be my lunch, because I knew I was going to be overindulgent in the evening. I was going to have a meal that I enjoy, so I kind of took it easy with lunch. And then also, anytime me and him were away, like, he would always go to the supermarket and get like fresh rolls and like a cooked chicken and a bit of salad and stuff. But that's when we kind of have an apartment, whereas we were staying in a hotel this year, so we didn't really have the facilities to kind of store a lot of food or cook food or anything. It was basically like a hotel room, so all we had was a fridge and like a kettle and stuff. So what we did was we bought a cooked chicken, and they chop it up for you there at the deli, and it was lovely. It was really, like, really succulent and juicy. So that was like the protein source. So I would have my oats, protein shake. And if I didn't have the protein shake, I'd probably have like a breast of chicken too. And then, like, obviously the fruit on top of the oats. So they were our lunch. Like, I think we ate out one day for lunch. But that's what we would do for the majority of the day. And we would do that kind of most holidays. We would like make like a chicken roll, or else we just had the bare chicken. And well, that's what he had anyway. And I would have the oats, the bit of chicken and some fruit. And then in the evening, then we would have a couple of drinks with a meal and stuff. Did I drink much alcohol? So I didn't drink during the day or anything. I just drank my water. I think, you know, most evenings my first drink would be around 6 or 7. Take it easy until after the meal. So I would have like a glass of wine or a bottle of Corona. And then in the evenings, so I would kind of like stick to vodka or 7-Up free. Vodka and 7-Up free, I mean. Or else, yeah, it was kind of pretty much that. So I kept it light. I'll be honest, one or two of the nights. I think the second night we got there, we went out with a group of friends. Like I said, we met people over there. I kind of had one too many. And then I think like the second last night was the same. But other than that, like, I took it pretty easy most of the week, because, you know, when you wake up on holiday, you don't really have a hangover. You kind of just get on with it. Like, there was never any mornings where I was like, oh my God, like, kill me now. Like, I've ruined my holiday. Like, I was on holiday. I wasn't beating myself up. I had no responsibilities. I was not in work mode. So yeah, I did enjoy myself. But when I came home, I could definitely feel the effects that the alcohol had on me, because I hadn't drank for 5 months. So, you know, I hadn't drank that much in 5 months. So I definitely felt it afterwards. Just in terms of like I said, I had 3 shows. I got back on the Monday evening and I had to be up in Donegal on the Thursday, Westport on the Friday. I had a break Saturday, and then I was in Wexford on the Sunday. So I have a new comedy tour that's on at the moment. If people are listening and aren't aware, like, I do stand-up comedy. That's like, I have 2 careers basically. And I have a new show. So like, I'm testing out new material and stuff. And when I say, like, I was so anxious that I didn't feel prepared and stuff, I felt like, and even though all the shows went great, they really did. And, you know, I learned a lot from them too, and what's working, what's not working. When I realized that I got off the plane, I was like, okay, I'm not in holiday mode anymore. Because when you are on holiday, you find that, like, you are segregated from Ireland, like, and, you know, life at home. It's not until you land at Dublin airport, you're like, okay, reality check, like, you're back in work mode now. So I did feel a lot of anxiety, you know, that kind of beating myself up or imposter syndrome. And I do blame the drink on that. I even felt on the plane, I'm not a nervous flyer, but I even felt I was kind of nervous when I got on the plane leaving Portugal. I don't know why, but yeah, I felt a bit of anxiety creeping in. And then his friend was home from New York. He happened to be over here, over in Ireland, the same week that we were away. So we only had one day to actually catch up with him. And we went for a meal in FX Buckley in town. Katie Hopkins was actually in the restaurant that day. I don't know whether you know her. She's a well-known journalist in the UK for how controversial she is, but she was in the restaurant, and there was a big group of us, and we were all having the crack and stuff. We were catching up with someone who we hadn't seen in a year or so, and she actually sent the waiter over to tell us to be quiet. It was like 2 o'clock in the, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So yeah, I don't know, maybe she was just hoping for a quiet lunch, but we were literally the only ones there, and then her and her husband. So yeah, that was a bit weird. But I didn't drink at that. And yeah, I just felt like, you know, because I was saying on my podcast the months previous that alcohol wasn't really for me anymore. I definitely think I'm still going to stick to my guns and say that, like, I will cherry pick the occasions now where I drink, because I haven't drank since obviously I came back. And I just do notice the massive difference. Obviously, when I'm on holiday, I switch off. I'm not putting pressure on myself. I don't have anything to worry about when I'm away. But at home, I feel like I'm constantly in work mode, which I am. When you work for yourself, you find it hard to switch off. Even on the weekends, there's always something. I have to do this, I have to do that. But in fairness now, since I've been back and, you know, I haven't had a hectic schedule anymore, I do feel like I am a bit more relaxed. But I put that down to not drinking either. Like, I went on a run today, I went on a 5K, I feel great. I was actually saying on my Instagram stories that the endorphins I get from exercise or doing something like that and pushing myself and, you know, hitting a personal best in the gym or, you know, having a day off or ticking off everything on my to-do list, the endorphins I get from that, that last me days or, you know, even for the whole day or trickles down into days afterwards. Like, I love that feeling. But when I drink alcohol, I get that feeling for a couple of hours. I have to drink about, you know, 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 drinks. And I get that buzz for a few hours, but I have to pay an immense price for those few hours. Because the days after, your dopamine is depleted. You're beating yourself up. You have the fear, you have anxiety. I have to do this, I have to do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I can deal with the headaches from a hangover. I can deal with the physical side effects. I can deal with getting sick. But the mental side of it, I mean, I turn into an awful person with a hangover. And I mean an awful person to myself. Like, imagine you having someone in your life constantly putting you down the whole day in your ear. You're this. You're not good enough at that. You don't deserve this. What are you doing? You're a mess. You're this. That's what I hear for 3 days after a night out. And I'm like, it's not worth it. Like, few and far between, fair enough. Like, I have a friend's wedding that's on the 20th of July and I probably will have a couple of drinks at that. But the next day is a Sunday. I don't have anything on. And, you know, I'll probably be able to enjoy that a bit more. But going out every weekend, I've said it before on the podcast, to get pissed or, you know, even during the week, go out like to, on a midweek, you know, bender. And then have to pay for it for 3 days, 4 days afterwards and like have to do client check-ins when your head's a mess, when you're foggy, go to the gym when you're, you know, you've only got about 50% energy in you. It's just not worth it. So like I would rather cherry pick my nights out and be like, okay, I have a wedding to go to. That's fine. Or, you know, it's my friend's birthday. We haven't seen each other in about 3 months. Enjoy a glass of wine with dinner. But I even feel the age that I'm at now, there is less of that anyway, going out every weekend. Like my boyfriend, like the only way he really socializes with his friends would be on a Friday night up in the local. There's a pool table there. He loves a few games of pool and that's how he sees his friends. But that doesn't mean that I have to sit up there with him every Friday night. You know, that's time with his friends and my time with my friends is usually going for food or else going on a walk. So yeah, I feel like I'm explaining myself or I have to like give people an excuse, but that's just how I feel at the moment. I'm not gonna, you know, be out every weekend getting pissed. I just feel like that phase of my life is over. I'm not gonna judge anyone else for doing it. You do you, but I just know me personally, I can't deal with the mental side of a hangover anymore. I don't know how people do it that have kids and they have to get up and they have to like rear them and take care of them. Like they've no choice. Like I have some luxury in waking up and being able to like not do anything. But yeah, I'm a different person to who I was 2 years ago. And I solely put that down to like my exercise routine and how good that makes me feel and looking after my food. Like I always say, eat shit, feel shit. But anyway, enough explaining. I'm back now to a routine. What do I weigh? So, well, not that people are entitled to know that, but when I went away, I was 53 kg and I was very transparent telling you, you know, that after my photo shoot, I would put on weight again. Do I put it on rapidly? No. But part of, you know, doing a photo shoot prep is knowing that that's only going to be a temporary look. Okay. You can't be that lean all year round. And most of the weight that I put on after my holiday, I came back and I weighed myself and I was 58 kg. So an extra 5 kg heavier. And I knew straight away the majority of that was just water. All right. So I'm at 54, 55 kg now. So I went away at 53 and 54, 55 now. And that scale trickled down days after my holiday because I was drinking more water than usual because I was peeing and I was flushing the water out of me. And then, you know, I was getting back to my cardio routine. So obviously I was sweating the water out of me too, because when we eat extra carbohydrates, when we're overindulging in food, when we eat extra food in general, drinking more alcohol in general, traveling, etc., there's more sodium in processed foods. If you're having more processed foods than usual, that's going to cause you to hold on to water. And if you're spending a week doing that, of course you're going to come home and of course the scale is going to spike. So what I would say is, if you are listening to this before you go on holiday or you're just back from a holiday, expect the scale to spike. It's not body fat. Okay, maybe you put on a pound or two, but so what? In 10 years, 20 years time, when you're talking about the holiday, you're not going to be saying to, you know, your friend, remember I went away and I was 53 kg? No, you're going to be talking about that holiday and you're going to be like, do you remember that night we couldn't stop laughing? Like, that's what you're going to remember about it, okay? So if you put on a pound or two, I think that's a luxury rather than a setback. You can afford, okay, you have the money and the funds and you can afford to go away, which is a luxury in this day and age with a cost of living crisis, to go away, make memories with your friends and family and, you know, get a nice tan, have fun, have the crack, be in a foreign country, enjoy the sunny day and come home and get back to your routine. Like, see that as a luxury, all right? And I actually had a couple of messages from some people being like, please tell me what you ate while you were away. Like, I know I put on the weight when I go on holiday and I don't want to put on weight. You can't live your life thinking like that. Going away and tracking food. Look, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But go away and just be mindful. Like, just think, okay, maybe I'll go for high protein options for a breakfast and a lunch and, you know, enjoy myself in the evening. That's what I did. I was just a bit strategic about it. I could have easily went into that breakfast every morning and just filled a plate full of pastries. But I knew I'd be hungry in an hour or so. So, you know, I was strategic about it. I had my protein sources with my eggs. I had my fruit sources. And then I treated myself to a pastry. You know, that's a carb source. And then, like I said, in the afternoons, I'm not telling you to bring away pots of porridge. But if I was to go into a shopping centre or a supermarket, we got a whole chicken, a bit of fruit. And, you know, you could have like a roll that could be a carb source, or a bagel and have the chicken, bit of coleslaw, bit of salad on a roll. Or you could just go out for lunch. Look, it's your holiday. You spend it how you want it. But don't be going away putting pressure on yourself or, you know, degrading yourself because you're afraid you're going to come back and you're going to gain weight. Like, that's no way to live. That's not a holiday. That's unless you're going away and you are on photo shoot prep. But, you know, I did a mini one last year because I was going to Orlando. In the March, we started in the January, so it was a mini one. It was only 9 weeks, and my coach even said to me, we are not sending you to Orlando during photo shoot prep. You will not be able to enjoy yourself. It's not fair on your partner, and it's just not going to work. Like, how can you go away for 2 weeks and track food in another country? You can't scan barcodes, you can't take out a food scale in a restaurant. You know, all I will say is just be mindful. Pick a high protein option for lunch, for breakfast, and then enjoy a meal in the evening. And look, if you want to get your steps in, get your steps in. I just did it to kill time because there's only so much time you can spend lying by the pool until it gets a bit boring. And also, it's not really good to be lying in the sun for 6 hours. You know, even though it is good for us to a certain extent. But, you know, some days I thought to myself, oh, I'll go to the gym as an opportunity to break up the day, or, you know, just stay active and just keep in my routine. Part of the reason is I wasn't doing it to punish myself when I went to the gym. I actually went because it's a staple in my life going to the gym, you know, 5 days a week, 4 to 5 days a week. So I wasn't going to do that on holiday, to be honest, because I did want to relax. So I thought to myself, if I can get 2 workouts in, great. It means that when I go back to the gym, I'm not going to be like riddled with DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. I'm not going to be broke up and, you know, I'm keeping the routine going. So don't be putting pressure on yourself. So yeah, the scale has trickled back down anyway. I'm around 54, 55 now, which I knew it would. Also, I got my period back. So that is one thing that I forgot to mention in my Q&A with my photo shoot prep is you are putting your body under so much stress. You know, you're losing body fat at a quick rate, and you know, you're working out, you're overworking really, you're overworking your body. And basically your body says, in females, your body is like, you are not, I wouldn't say healthy enough, but your body isn't in a position to conceive kids at the moment because you're putting your body under an awful lot of stress. You're not taking in enough food for everything to function correctly. So the last time I had a period was the 28th of March. and I got it back yesterday. So that's my body telling me, okay, you're eating enough food now. You're not putting your body into a stressful situation anymore, and everything is firing correctly under the surface. Hormones are regulating that. So yeah, everything is back running smoothly. So, you know, I suppose after a holiday and having that amount of food and stuff probably did give my body or my menstrual cycle the kick that it needed. But that's just another downside to doing photo shoot preps, okay? That can happen. I know some people go for a lot longer. Some people who step on stage and compete, that can be a downside as well to doing, you know, extreme restriction. But look, we're back out the other side of it and we're back to living a normal life. So I have just a couple of points to make. So while we're on the subject of photo shoot prep, so obviously, you know, I've been putting up reels and stuff, I've been putting up pictures, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I'd love to be like you, I'd love to have that body, the figure on you, etc. And I'm just like, I had to be okay with putting on a few kg, okay? Like I said, I put on 3 kg, and a lot of people are like, oh, that's not a lot, Jesus, you wouldn't even notice it in you. But that scale will continue to increase over the next couple of months, because nobody walks around that lean all year round. So if you look at the picture of me in my photo shoot, I'm not going to look like that all year round. I look like that for a temporary period, okay? And if you are looking at me and thinking, I want to look like that and then I will be happy, the immense sacrifices I had to make to look like that. I couldn't drink alcohol. Not that that was a deal breaker. Like I stated, I actually enjoyed not drinking. But if you do enjoy a couple of glasses of wine on the weekend with your partner or your friends, or a bottle of wine, you know, you share or whatever, cut that out. You can't drink alcohol because it's just empty calories and it's not going to fill you, and it's just pointless because, yeah. So no alcohol. Can't eat out in a restaurant because you need to literally monitor everything that's going into your mouth and you have to be able to track it. You have to know what's in it. So you have to eat everything home cooked. You know, no ice cream with your kids, no McDonald's, no eating out with your friends. They were the sacrifice I had to make. And then on top of that, you're expending so much energy in the gym. You're basically living in the gym. Like, it's like having a full-time job, okay? So that's what it takes. You heard my podcast, you've seen my stories on Instagram. The sacrifices I had to make to look that lean, for my abs to pop, okay? Do you want to live like that all year round? Because I'm human. I wasn't comfortable seeing the scale go up, but I had to have a bit of a pep talk with myself and be like, okay, and you remember how miserable you were in the last few weeks of that photo shoot prep? Do you want to be like that all year round? For what? For validation of other people? Is it for health reasons? No. I mean, people get bored of it pretty quick. You're going to stop getting compliments off people. Oh, you look amazing. Oh, you look this, you look that. While they're sitting there eating their pastries and having their glass of wine while you're suffering in silence. It's not worth it. Honestly, having a six pack is not worth it. If you went through what I went through, you would understand that it's not worth having a six pack. There is more to life than having visible abs. I did that photo shoot. I think I had visible abs for about a week, okay? And I'm not willing to trade off my life today for that for the rest of the year. Like, I couldn't live like that for the rest of the year. Like, I will gladly take the extra 3, 4, 5 kg in body weight without visible abs, you know, a bit of fluff on the stomach and trimmings everywhere else, to be able to have a pizza with my boyfriend, go for food with my friends, have popcorn in the cinema. I remember, like, me and him going to the cinema 2 or 3 times over the last 5 months. And I had to just bring a bottle of water with me or a can of Diet Coke. And, you know, I know I'm going to watch the film, I'm not going to eat food, but those are just little simple things that you miss and that you wish you could do. But, like, that's the level of restriction and the level of discipline you need if you want to maintain visible abs all year round, okay? Because you think that type of body is going to make you happy. I get it all the time in DMs. I want to look like that. I want to look like this. And in order, like, you think that's going to make you happy, but if you want to look like that, you're actually giving up the things that do make you happy. The real things, okay? The things that aren't tangible, okay? You want to touch a six pack, but you're not going to be able to have the crack with your friends. Like, go for food, go for a couple of drinks, you know, enjoy tasty treats like a pastry, little things like that, a piece of birthday cake at a party. Like, you have to be so strict and disciplined that you could only do that temporarily. And people who do that all year round and have visible abs all year round, my God, like, what type of life do you have? Like, what way are you living? You know, do you have a life? Do you socialize? Are you a hermit? You're just living in your house all day? And for what? Just to be able to take pictures on a weekly basis, to be like, look at my abs. It's for validation. Don't get me wrong, I'm incredibly proud of what I done, and I have to say it was the best shape I've ever been in. But I also have to accept that I will never look like that again. Probably. I'll probably never be that lean again. But again, I will emphasize, I will gladly put on the extra few kg, which I was always transparent about. I was always transparent that I would put on an extra bit of weight afterwards. I'll still keep a good body composition, and I would still go to the gym, and I will still look after my nutrition, but I will be on more food now. But I would gladly trade the extra few, I'd gladly trade my abs to put on the extra few kg and live life like a normal human being. Honestly, it's only when you don't have it, you appreciate when you don't have that fun in your life or those tasty things, when you don't have them in your life, it's only then you appreciate how much they actually mean to you and contribute to your overall happiness. Now, I could have gone into a calorie deficit after I came back off holiday and being like, oh my God, you know, I want to go back to the way I was before I went on holiday. But why? Constantly keep chasing a scale number. Like, no one cares about your body as much as you do. Again, are you doing it for validation? Like, that's the wrong reason. I'm the same weight now that I was at the end of March. And back then, I thought I looked great. But now, the fact that, like, let's look at the week I finished a photo shoot prep. I was, like, super lean, okay? I have a comparison now. So when I was me in March, and I looked at me in May, I now have a comparison. I now have a standard being like, oh, so that's what I'd look like with another 3 kg knocked off me. And then I'm like, I want to stay like this. You know, I was so lean. Like, I'm human. I did have them thoughts. I did want to stay like that. But again, I will reiterate, I wouldn't have a life. So I had to accept that, you know, it wasn't fun. It just wasn't fun. I was miserable. And I'm like, come on, Anya, like, you want to be able to go for a coffee and a croissant. You want to be able to have a meal out with your boyfriend. You know, he loves going out to try different restaurants, different cuisines. And I couldn't do that with him for those last 5 months. And if I have to carry a bit of fluff on my arms, my legs, my midsection, so be it. But, you know, with the way I operate now, like, I do my cardio, I do my steps, I do my workouts. I'm not going to, like, whack loads of weight back on. Like, I'll probably put a few kg on, but that's fine. But I just want people to understand that, you know, you will experience different weights in your life, and stop chasing a scale number to think when I get there I will be happy, because you will get there and then you'll realize, oh, like, I actually want to lose more weight. So it's a very toxic cycle to get into. Just be content with where you are today. Stop thinking about, oh, well, 2 years ago I was a stone lighter. Okay, well, just slowly implement, you know, the day-to-day changes. Don't be punishing yourself. Don't be coming back from holiday either and spending hours on the Stairmaster or like starving yourself so you can like go to your pre-holiday weight. Just accept it. It's part of life, okay? The scale will fluctuate. Now, I have more points here. So yeah, I have my freedom back. I can do so much more. I have much more time on my hands. So I'm currently at maintenance calories, okay? So the current amount of calories I am on is 1850 on a non-training day and 2050 on a training day, okay? So what are the pros and cons of maintenance? So basically, we aren't striving for fat loss anymore, all right? And you have to still keep yourself in check, like I said, because it's easy to get carried away. Because like I said in my photo shoot prep Q&A episode, I felt even on holiday that when I ate a full pizza, I could easily eat another one, even though I wasn't hungry. Like, that demon is still in there. And now it is slowly at a distance, moving away at a distance now. I don't really feel like that much anymore. But when you were in maintenance, it's very easy to have the extra chocolate biscuit or have this or have that, being like, oh, I'm not striving for fat loss anymore. I'm not standing in front of a camera anymore. I'll have the extra this, I'll have the extra that. And then what can happen is, you know, day after day after day, that can start to add up. And before you know it, you know, you're probably 700, 800, 1,000 calories up at the end of the week because you just kept picking, thinking, oh, well, I'm at maintenance. Oh, it's probably not going to show up. Like, it can be a slippery slope. So you do have to have a certain element of discipline. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm still going to go out for a meal every weekend with my other half. I can have a pastry now on a Saturday or a Friday because I'm on extra food, I'm on extra calories, but that doesn't mean I neglect my protein target. I neglect my steps, like I neglect my workouts. I don't strive to get stronger in the gym. Like it doesn't mean that I just become sedentary now. And, you know, those calories are assigned to me because of my activity level, because of my height, weight, age, and how active I am. Like those numbers weren't just picked out of the sky. So if I was to just sit on my hole for the next 8 weeks and eat that amount of food, I probably would put on body fat rapidly because those calories are designed for someone who's active like 5 days a week, you know? So what are the pros? More energy. I'm stronger. Like my strength has shot back up in the gym, which is great. Like I was lifting weights that, you know, I could barely do two or three reps with when I was in a deficit. It's great. Like you can really see the difference with having more fuel in your diet. Like a lot of people freak out when they go from a calorie deficit into maintenance because they're like, oh, more fuel, I'm going to put on body weight. No, like you're going to be still active. You're going to be still looking after yourself. Like you're going to have more energy now. You're not going to be doubled up with lactic acid pains like I was in the last week of shoe prep. You're not going to be, you know, knackered. You're not going to be fatigued. You're not going to be cranky. You have more energy now. You have a bit more pep in your step. You're able to have more variety in your diet. Like I put up a reel on my Instagram with the type of meals that I was eating. Like a lot of my meals are like 350 to 400 calories when I was in a calorie deficit. Now they're like 500 to 600 calories. Like they're bigger portions. I have room for like an extra snack now. I was probably only having one during my deficit. I actually have about three now. You know, just more variety. And then like I have a better social life. I'm not going out thinking I'm just going to have to get a Diet Coke while these order their favorite meal. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to eat out every day of the week, but being able to go out and pick what I want off the menu is a luxury now as opposed to the total restriction I went through over 5 weeks, 5 months, sorry. So yeah, they are the pros and cons of maintenance, which means that because I'm eating more food, my muscle is going to benefit from it. So my muscle's going to grow. So I think I have another deficit scheduled for October time. So that's probably just to tidy up any trimmings that I put on over the next couple of months or next few months, I should say. And then, you know, I'll go back to maintenance again over Christmas time. And it just means this time next year, I will have even more muscle on my frame. It takes a long time to build muscle. It really does. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a long period. So these are the type of things that we do. Sometimes deficit breaks are implemented during maintenance or surpluses to get your appetite back, because what can happen is some people, even women, can end up eating 2,500 to 3,000 calories depending on their height, weight, age, level of activity. Like that's their surplus. And people can complain when they're eating less than a deficit, being like, it's not enough food. And then people can complain, be like, it's too much food. When you're eating 2,500 to 3,000 calories, like your first meal of the day would have to be at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So you can like space the meals out over the day. So you're not like eating on top of another meal, like, you know, and you're still full from the last one and stuff. Like you have to really time your meals efficiently when you're in a surplus like that. But however, just to summarize before we wrap up, if you are going on holiday, or you're just currently back, what would I do when I arrive home? What I would do is not go to the gym and break yourself up. I wouldn't undereat. I would just get back to the plan, whether you're maintaining, whether you're in a deficit, you know, just get back to the plan, because you will burn out and you will develop a toxic relationship with food and exercise if the first thing you do when you get off that plane is run to the gym, spend an hour on the Stairmaster and then not eat properly for like a week after, thinking that's going to get the scale back to normal, because you will burn out after about 15, 20 minutes. Sorry, I was looking at the clock there on my laptop. You will burn out after a week or two and be like, I can't keep this up. And you might end up rebounding and then just regaining it all back again anyway. So just stick to a normal plan. The scale will return to normal after a few days. Drink more water than usual because you're going to be going to the toilet and that's going to flush the extra water retention out of you, okay? Maybe if you're doing cardio like a spin class or a run, wear a jumper. It will just make you sweat more. And like, again, our body excretes water when we sweat to cool us down. And that's another way of doing it. That's not me telling you to do extra cardio, okay? It just means like there's obviously different strategies you can use to, I suppose, what's the word, excel would it be? Excel the water excretion? I don't know. Sorry, I'm just a bit jumbled at the moment. I've heard of people going to saunas as well, which can help alleviate water retention. But you don't need to be going to saunas. Like, you don't. Just drink extra water. Stop punishing yourself. You had a great time on holiday. Leave it at that. Move on. It's in the past. Don't be beating yourself up. Get back to your regular eating habits. You know, your 3 meals a day. If you're at maintenance, stick to your maintenance calories. Back to tracking. If you're in a deficit, back into a deficit. It does take a couple of days to get back into routine. I was the same. You know, when you're on holiday, you're not exactly sticking to the same meal times as you would at home. You're eating different foods. You haven't been exercising as much. So it's going to take a few days to get back to normal. And that's totally fine, okay? It'll just take you a few days to find your feet again. And then before you know it, the following week, you're back in the swing of things and all is well in the world. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, there's no magic pill to take. There's no beating yourself up. I wouldn't be sitting here telling people to feel bad for going on holiday. I would say embrace the holiday. You had a great time. Now just get back to normality, okay? That's this week's episode. I hope to have a special guest on next week. This podcast is called Below the Bar, not just fitness related, but mindset related, you know, journeys that people have been on. Like, the whole photo shoot prep was, you know, a testament to how far I've come in my life. I used to be a binge eater, a binge drinker, etc. And I love hearing other people's stories, you know, how fitness changed their life, or how they shifted their mindset. They were in a really shitty place and they decided to wake up. They woke up one day and decided, enough is enough. I'm going to do something about this. So yeah, it's from exercise to mindset, to education. Everything falls under the brand name, Below the Bar. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having this guest on. Hopefully, it goes through. But until then, I will be posting as usual on my Instagram story. Give us a follow, Coach Enya. But yeah, have a lovely week and keep pushing on.